We've been talking about understanding faith. We've learned that faith comes by hearing the word, and that without faith we can't please God. So it's really important. But in understanding faith, and we've looked at faith, it's believing, it's trusting, it's not intellectual assent, but it's really trusting with everything you have. It's stepping out onto the invisible. Remember the Indiana Jones kind of illustration? It's just stepping off that cliff and trusting God to hold you. You know, it's just like that person that fell over a cliff and is holding on to the little twig, the root coming out of the cliffside, and he's yelling, "Help me, help me, is there anyone up there?" And the voice comes down and said, "It's me, Jesus. Let go of the branch." He says, "Is there anybody else up there?" See, that's when you know what faith is. I mean, real faith. Because real faith is letting go of the branch. And if the Lord says, step out of the boat, walk on water, let go of the branch, step off the figurative cliff, real faith will do that. Real faith will say, pray that prayer. Give that interpretation. Deliver this message. Witness, tell this person I love them. Just say this. I mean, many times it would be, just tell them I love them. And then all the words would come out, you know, and just flow, and a conversation would happen. I have seen people at their lowest, literally, at their very lowest, numbers of times. And God just gave me one little thing, one little word to say to them. Go tell them I love them. Go say this to them. And it would be that, it'd be that one thing. That one thing that they needed. I've prayed those kind of prayers. Lord, if you're real, if you're there, just do this. And he would do that thing. And it was like, I know he's real. I know he's real. And so we're looking at understanding faith and what it is, and we're developing in that, we're growing in that, and that's kind of what we've talked about. But I just want to talk to you about and introduce it today, and then we can next week, you know, really dig down deeper in it. But in understanding faith, one of the things, you know, and there's different things that we're going to look at, how to cultivate faith, how to, you know, the word, of course, but how to let faith work effectively in our life. And there are things that can hinder faith from working effectively. Have you ever heard of, you know, people getting water in their gas tank? What happens? And then the car doesn't run at all. It either runs poorly or it'll stop running entirely because of moisture, water. And you put that STP treatment in there and it'll cause that water to evaporate out and get the gas back pure. Or if it's really got a lot in there, they drain the tank and then you get some good petrol in there, good fuel in there, and you're back in business. Well, there are things that do that. How many of you have had stomach issues, you know, and so, man, if I eat tomato sauce, if I eat an acid-based thing, it can stir up the juices and things like that. You know, we learn things, and there are things that we can do that can hinder us, you know, can trigger things in our life, and we get that. Well, same thing with faith. And if we want the faith that pleases God, the faith that accomplishes things, the faith that produces great results in our life, then we need to learn some of those things that can get mixed in there and mess it up. And I want to start with fear, which is the big, big obstacle. And I have a saying, and through my notes, I have this thing highlighted and repeated at different points in the prolific notes that I have. There's probably 4.5, 5 pages of notes of just scriptures. And that was in all the ones that I had. That was just what I put together. But this is the statement, and we can get started with this and leave with this and a few scriptures. Fear is a liar. Everybody say, fear is a liar. It will stop you from fighting the good fight of faith. Fear is a liar. Can you say that again? Fear is a liar. We have got to recognize that God is truth. Jesus said, I am the truth. And the devil is a liar. He's the father of all lies. So Jesus is truth. The devil is a liar. And fear is a liar. We need to recognize where these things come from. Faith will come from God. He has given us the measure of faith, we learned last week. The measure of faith, all of us start with that. All of us have the ability to believe God for salvation, to believe God to start the journey, to take the first steps. And then as we learn the Word of God, we feed on the Word of God, we learn more about God through His Word, our faith begins to grow, it gets stronger, and we go from one level of faith to the next level. But that saying, fear is a liar. It will rob you or stop you from fighting the good fight of faith. See, fear stopped me from witnessing to that person. Fear can stop you from fighting the good fight of faith because now fear has gripped. And think about fear in the natural. Fear produces, just in the natural, when you become afraid of something, it can paralyze you. Have you ever just been so afraid you just like couldn't move? You're just frozen. Do you know that the roar of a lion, the roar of a bear, certain animals in the kingdom, just even their appearance, that roar, it's there to produce that fear? The lion can roar and cause certain animals to just freeze in their tracks, and then it just devours them. Not every one of the animals do that. The one that fears is going to be devoured. The one that gets out of there is going to live another day. So we can see that in the natural world, that fear can do it. Fear will cause us to not go on the job interview and try to get that promotion. It will try to prevent you from exuding confidence. Can you do this job? I can absolutely do this job. Matter of fact, I believe I can be the best person you've ever had in this position. Fear will cause us not to talk big talk like that. Because what if I can't do it? See, I learned to get past fear in my life because I learned in Philippians 4:13, not in the list of scriptures, but since I didn't give you a list, you can pop Philippians 4:13 up there, that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And when I read that as a young Christian and fear would grip me, I meditated on that and said, you know, I can do all things, but not because of me. And see, that's where faith was produced. It's because of Him in me. He gives me power. He gives me strength. Or you could say, oh yes, He empowers me. He strengthens me. He puts in me an ability to do what I can't do in and of myself, including just the courage to get past the fear and say those words or do whatever it is. And because as a very, very young baby Christian, because I needed that as somebody who was, you know, a lot of the shyness was fear of interacting with other people, of rejection of other people, and all of these things, that it would just cause me to try to be invisible, to be quiet, to not be bold and reach out and make friendships. Throughout my childhood, I would have maybe one friend or two friends. And that second friend might be the result of the one friend, the other friend. I wasn't the outgoing person until I became a believer. And then it's like, okay, I'm supposed to be a witness. I'm supposed to do this. And the fear was there. And God even gave me a tool, gave me a thing. Lisa probably laughing because the thing that He gave me as a senior in high school I'm doing was just you know, it just make you laugh and say, no way. But it worked. It worked for me to become a witness. And it worked in that environment because His anointing was on it. I'll tell you another time. I don't have time to, and I know you're like, what was it? Just say, ball cap full of puppets. Now, what I learned was He empowers me. He strengthens me. And when He does that, and He lives inside of me, that the result is I can do all things. Not because of my nature, but because of Him in me. And I learned and I started doing things and taking things on that every fiber of my being said, there's no way you can do it. My mind would be inundated with thoughts, which I believe were the devil, because the battleground is in the mind, and he'll whisper things. God speaks to the spirit. The devil will try to plant thoughts in the mind and give me all the things, all my inexperience, all the reasons why I can't do something. But when I started to develop in this, walk in my faith, and just going ahead and doing that, more and bigger things, to where now, I don't care what it is, yeah, I can do that. I can take care of that. You know, volunteering in a church doesn't make you skilled in leading teams of dozens, or if not a hundred and something, ushers. But they had a crusade come to St. Louis, and I went to the initial planning meeting. A group of us ministers did. I was an assistant pastor in the church and a younger minister, probably still in my 20s, I think, wasn't it, Lisa? Still in my 20s then. And went on there, and they needed somebody to take care of the ushers. Well, that was the biggest ministry. They had like five positions they needed ministers from the region to take, be able to handle. And they made us the chairman of such and such support services, ushers, and all that, and the greeters. I can do that. Well, this is hundreds of people in a huge auditorium in St. Louis. Need somebody to handle the security. Nobody's going to do that. I can do that too. And did. And not just for that ministry, but did that. Lisa and I worked in for big meetings for other big ministries. First one was Jimmy Swaggart before things, you know, went tough the second time there. And so we led that up. Thousands of people there. I was in charge of all the security, all the ushers, all the greeters, and boy, there was a lot to do. Billy Brim's meetings, every meeting she did in Branson for years, taking care of them, and the Copelands when they would come to Branson. And I'm not name dropping to do that. It's an example, an illustration to say my experience wasn't there. You know, now when I did theirs, I could say, well, I took care of the Jimmy Swaggart crusade. You know, then you can say, you know, you did something. But what I did for him and what I did at different times and different positions and different things, because the thing isn't important and the who certainly isn't important. It's the just saying I can do all things through Christ. And he empowered me. He gave me an ability. Because number one, think about that the majority of people that are working for me, it was probably about 150, if I would guess. Because you had to have multiple ushers for every section of every floor level of that auditorium. Had to have security for every, you know, the team. You had to secure, had security at the entrances, and you know, it was big. It might have been more than that. It was at least that, I would say, just thinking back on it. And most of these people were older than I was. But I knew what that said. And natural fear and those thoughts, well, you can't do that. Nobody's going to respect you. You're just young. Remember what Paul told Timothy, a young pastor? You know, we share that with teenagers in the youth group. And you can apply the principle to teenagers in the youth group. But in the context, he's talking to a young pastor. So he's pastoring a number of people who are older than him. And he says, let no one despise your youth. Just lead them, shepherd them, instruct them in the word. And Timothy did. And so I was in that boat, and I've been in that boat, and I know you all have been in that boat. We have got to know fear. Because fear is a liar. it will stop us from fighting the good fight of faith. Amen? Now, I've quoted a couple scriptures or so, and we put one up there. But let me just read 1 Timothy 6:12. This is to that young pastor. And that, let no one despise your youth, you know, he can tell them this so that he can learn it and pass it on to them. Fight the good fight of faith. Faith is a battle. It's a fight. To hold on to faith. Lay hold on to eternal life. You're fighting the fight of faith because the devil is going to do things to try to steal that word of God, that revelation, that relationship. He's going to try to kill that relationship. He's going to try to destroy what you have in the Lord. And you've got to fight that fight to stay in faith. You have to lay hold of eternal life. It's like that grip, you know, when the kid grabs hold of your legs and you're trying to go out the door to go to work and they just won't let you go. Toby was like that this morning. Chris isn't there. And Toby was real clingy with Lisa. And he came in there with me too. But it was like, you know, I'm trying to get dressed and he jumps up on the bed and he just kept, you know, he talk about faith. He would jump out, he would just stretch out, and if I didn't, you know, take hold of him, he's going to go down. And he just kept doing it. It's like, Toby, get back. And he'd do it again. It's like, Toby, trying to dress here. You know, it was clingy doing that. And, you know, he's like, I'm trying to get. We got to lay hold. We got to hang on to these things, to our revelation, to our faith. Has anybody ever had doubts? Has ever anybody lived for the Lord and at times in your life, there's things that have happened and it makes you wonder. And there's so many things out there, and I've got to quickly wrap it up. I'm just trying to lay the foundation for this message. Evolution. You know, this whole world, it's a big deal. I've been studying and feeding on the origin of things, listening to a lot and reading a lot of debates and things like that, and you'll hear people who teach science and are atheists and all, and it has taken, that teaching has caused so many young people to depart from the faith that they grow up in their children churches and things like that, in their youth groups, and they get to college and they get out in the world and they hear all of this stuff, and it can cause them to wonder, to doubt, to depart from the faith even. And it's happened so many times. It's always been a interesting thing to me. Debated it in high school and you know, and you can't, you know, that debate goes on and there's more information. So I've been feeding on it a lot because we got young people and I want to be able to give answers. Because another thing about this journey of faith, about understanding faith, is that faith comes by hearing the Word of God. In other words, faith comes by hearing the answer. And it's okay when they have questions. We just need to do what Peter said and be ready to give an answer for what we believe. That's what we're all called to do, is to be ready to give an answer for what we believe, why we believe that. And so when they ask you about some of these big issues that are out there to try to get people to turn away from the Word and turn away from God, because you turn away from the Word, your faith will diminish. It will weaken, it will diminish, and you can end up shipwrecked. And so we need to be feeding our own faith, exercising our own faith, increasing our own faith, feeding on the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, studying the Word of God. The longer you live for God, you should be able to do more. You learn how to add 1 + 1. You learn to add 2 + 2. Then as you get older, you learn how to do the times tables. Remember that? Oh no, we're going to do multiplication. But they taught us 1 × 1 = 1. 1 × 2 = 2. 1 × 3. It's like, that one's not hard. Okay, now we got to do the twos. 2 times 2 equals 4. 2 times 4 equals 8. You know, I'm just trying to take you. I know we all know the answer to that. But remember? And then remember they said, okay, next we're going to do division. But we learned it. We grew in our knowledge of it. And just like we do that in the natural, we need to be doing that in our learning about God's Word, studying it, developing it, having more working knowledge of it. When I was a baby Christian, I would... Can I borrow your Bible, Maybelle? Thank you. Because I'll be careful, because I know that's the way mine was too. This is a well-worn Bible. It's an inspiration to see. When I was a baby Christian, I didn't know where everything was. Still don't know the whole Word of God is where everything has got to look. But I know how to look things up. I know how to find those answers. I know how to use a concordance and so on. But when I was a baby Christian, I would just pray and I would just go like this. And my eyes would scan. And I would just look. And then all of a sudden, my eyes would fall on a particular scripture. And it would just illuminate almost. And there was my answer. There was the thing that I was praying about. I think this is the page you were on. And that was the thing. And it had my answer. And you know, that worked for a while. And it can happen on occasion now. But it's rare. Because now I know how to rightly divide the Word. I know how to look things up. I know how to study things topically. I know how to look things up. I know how to get in the Greek and the Hebrew. It develops. And we all need to do that. And when we do, it will give us confidence in our own faith when the doubt tries to come in. When fear tries to come into us. Doubt's going to be another one, but fear comes in. And we can fight the good fight of faith. Fear is a liar. And you have the father of all lies who is trying to tell you that the Word of God is not true. The Word of God's not dependable. If I can't trust any part of that, I can't trust the rest of it. And that's why I believe, and why I've been doing a lot of studying on it, on origins, the universe, the creation of the world, and everything else. Because if you can't trust Genesis, see, when you go to the book of Genesis, it tells you where we came from, but it also it predicts the virgin birth, it predicts the fall of man, it has the fall of man in there, it has all of the things, the need for a Savior, and all of that, it's all there. And if you start to question the first 3 chapters, you're going to question the rest. The first 15 chapters of Genesis, man, there's a lot in there. And the devil will try to get you to question it. And if you can't trust that, how can you trust the rest? So that's kind of a foundation today. Did I read the Timothy verse for you? 1 Timothy? Yeah, did I read it to you? Okay. Where it says, did I read the whole thing? Didn't feel like I read it to you. I didn't read it to you. So we'll close with that verse, because I told you I'd give you at least another. I've quoted some scripture and given you some word, and we've had a time in the Holy Ghost. But in 1 Timothy 6:12, it says, fight the good fight of faith, laid hold on eternal life. That's where we stopped. To which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the context of that verse, as you look on that, it helps you. We're called to fight the fight of faith. So faith can be a battle. It is a battle. Not can be. It is a battle. You gotta fight it. Because something will come to try to get you out of that. So fighting the fight of faith is fighting to believe that. I'm not going to give up on that. Lay hold on eternal life. Don't just take these things for granted. Well, I can just live any way I want. I'm just going to do my thing. Let myself drift. Let myself get distracted. No, you lay hold of eternal life. You grip it and hang on to it. Okay, so that's where we had left off. Now, to which you were also called. God called you. He wants all of us. And you have confessed the good confession. The way to stay in faith and not let fear get in, and we'll close with this, is to have the good confession. to get bold and start declaring what you believe. And that's not just in your room. In front of many witnesses. These are the things that I learned as a young Christian, because I was devouring the Word of God, and I would read that, and it's what made me say, I have to go out there and got to tell people about Jesus, even though I was so shy. And I saw so many people come into the kingdom of God, not because of Ray, not his ability. I was a guy paralyzed in fear, in the natural, shy, introverted, and all of that. But it's like, I've got to do this. And the Holy Ghost, I didn't know all of that, all about that in the very beginning. But boy, especially after I got filled with the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit of God would just help it come out of me. Rivers of living water. And I watched that. These are things to meditate on. To realize it's a fight. We have to be in the hearing the Word of God constantly. We got to be reading it, meditating on it, studying on ourselves, feeding our faith, strengthening our faith. Faith has to be nourished. The Bible, it's got a lot of metaphors. You know, rivers of living water, the washing of the water of the Word. Food. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. It's the living manna. It's the spiritual food that feeds faith. And so we have to nourish ourselves. Carolyn's talking about eating one meal a day, and it's working for her. She supplements and does drinking and does things and all, and doctors told her she's good. But she can't eat one meal a week. Wouldn't work. So we have to nourish. We have to get that food in, and we have to do that. I gotta stop. Anyway, that's the foundation. We'll get into this a little bit. We're going to look at fear and how it's a liar. It's an enemy to faith, and what we'll look at next week, Lord willing, is that fear and faith can't coexist. They can't live in the same house. You ever had a roommate that was different than you? Different goals, different desires, different morals, and it didn't work out? So we'll get into that. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for challenging us. Thank you for the sweet presence of your Holy Spirit and the move of the Holy Spirit today. Lord, we're leaving better than we came in. And we have been challenged with a shorter message from your word. And thank you that faith has produced a confidence to just walk our journey in boldness, recognizing that we can do anything and everything, not because of just who we are and of our own ability, but because of your ability in us and through us. And we thank you for that revelation. May we all go out of this place in boldness and confidence and tackle the things that come in this life. And Lord, we thank you that you will be glorified in and through it all. In Jesus' name, amen.